Testing in the House Chamber, Legislative Day 131.
The House will come to order. Members will take their seats. Visitors will retire from the chamber. The Sergeant-at-Arms will close the doors. This morning's prayer will be offered by Representative Zinger. We'd ask our members and our guests in the gallery to please rise for the prayer and to remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance. Representative Zinger.
Ephesians 2:10 says, "We are His workmanship, created for good works in Christ." Let's pray. Father, I thank You for every soul in this room. Help us to realize our immense value to You. We are Your workmanship, the apple of Your eye, Your prized possession, Your sons and daughters. You have blessed us with the privilege of serving the people of North Carolina. We humbly ask for wisdom, direction, leading, and grace to help us do good works for Christ for the people of North Carolina. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall, is recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, the journal for September 22nd has been examined and found to be correct. I move that it be approved as written.
Representative Hall moves that the journal for September 22nd be approved as written. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The journal is approved as written. Representative Lambeth is recognized, sent forth the conference report. Clerk will read.
Senate Bill 191. The President of the Senate, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, the conference is appointed to resolve the difference between the Senate and the House of Representatives on Senate Bill 191. A bill to be entitled an act providing patient visitation rights will not be impacted during the declared disaster and emergencies, directing the Department of Health and Human Services to impose civil penalties for any violation of those rights. Healthcare Committee substitute adopt 42821, third edition and gross 5521, submitted the following report. The conferees recommend that the Senate and the House of Representatives adopt this report. Date conferees approved report September 23rd, 2021. Conferees for the Senate, Senator Daniels, Chair, Senator Britt, Perry, and Crawford. Conferees for the House of Representatives, Representative Lambeth, Chair, Representative Dixon, Potts.
Calendar, without objection, today's calendar, so ordered. Mr. Clerk, members, Chair is going to direct that House Bill 91, that is the Accountability and Fair Play in Athletics Bill. That bill is going to be withdrawn from the Education Committee on K-12 as well as the SEER referral to rules stricken. Chair is going to say calendar 36B. And members, Chair is going to add that to today's calendar without objection. That's going to be for a non-concurrent. So is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Representatives Bradford, Setzer, Soka, Kidwell, and Ray are recognized to send forth a committee report. Clerk will read.
Representative Bradford, Setzer, Soka, Kidwell, and Ray. Finance Committee report, House Bill 792, Barbarous Electrolysis Barber Merger, favorable committee substitute number 2, unfavorable committee substitute number 1, and referred to rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
Chair would ask if the finance chairs would approach the dais. The committee sub is placed on the unfavorable calendar. The committee sub number 2, the clerk will hold up on the additional order from the chair. As to the committee sub number 2, Mr. Clerk, Chair is going to strike the referral to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations. Calendar, and without objection, today's calendar.
Mr. Speaker.
Would the lady like, for what purpose, lady?
Well, I don't want to object, but I just didn't hear what bill number
there are two bills from the Finance Committee. First one is House Bill 92. It is the Barbers and Electrolysis Boards Merger. The second one is the county's semiannual assessment payments. The chair is informed these are non-controversial bills, so under our expedited schedule, chair's intend to add those. Assuming there's no objection, hearing none, so order be counted for today. The court may continue for the second bill.
House Bill 721, county's semiannual assessment payments. Favor committee substitute, unfavor original bill, and refer to rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
That original bill is placed on the unfavorable calendar of the committee sub. On that one, the chair is going to as well strike the referral to the committee on rules, and that bill will also be calendared for today. Members, before we get into our business, the chair is honored to for a number of recognitions that we can make today with some special guests we have. First off, on motion of the gentleman from Robinson County, Representative Graham, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to Representative Graham's wife, Norma, who is here. Also with her is his niece, Vanessa Canassa. Would y'all please stand so we could welcome you? They're back in the back. Thanks for being with us today. Also on motion of the gentleman from Guilford, Representative Hardister, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to a group of students here with the Cornerstone Robotics team. Also here, led by that team, are Kathy Barnett, who is the lead team mentor, FTC team 14828 Crypto Cardinals of the Cornerstone Charter Academy in Greensboro. Would y'all please stand so we can welcome you? Thanks for being with us today. And on motion of the gentleman from Forsyth, Representative Zinger, we're honored to have his wife, Julie, with us here today. Julie, would you please stand so we could welcome you as well? Thanks for being with us today. We're going to now proceed to the calendar. Chair is going to withdraw House Bill 264. This is Representative Kidwell's bill. And he is, of course, not here today, so that is going to be placed 36B at this point, and we'll recalendar that for next week once we determine which day there'll be votes next week. So that bill is withdrawn from the calendar at this time. House Bill 218, the corporate rate.
Representative Zinger, House Bill 218. A bill to be entitled an act to clarify stormwater runoff requirements applicable for pre-existing development of water supply watershed and to exempt certain footprints expansion from site plan major modification requirements.
Clerk is directed to read both amendments as well.
Senator Lee moves to amend the bill. Senator Jarvis moves to amend the bill. General Assembly of North Carolina annexed.
Who's handling this motion on this bill? Representative Zinger, the gentleman from Forsyth, Representative Zinger, is recognized for motion.
Okay, Mr. Speaker, are we handling the amendments first? Or
the appropriate motion the gentleman could make at this point would be that the House concur with the two amendments of the Senate as to House Bill 218. If the gentleman would like to make that motion, the chair will accept it.
So moved.
The gentleman accepts the gentleman's motion at this time. The gentleman is recognized to debate the motion.
Yeah, these are... This is a great bill. We voted on it earlier this year overwhelmingly. The Senate made a couple changes. One of them, which I know you're going to find shocking, is we had to change the date because it took so long to get it over here. So anyway, I appreciate your support on both the amendments.
For what purpose does the lady from Guilford, Representative Harrison, rise?
To debate the motion.
The lady has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I appreciate Representative Zinger's good work on this bill. I have some concerns that the Jarvis Amendment it may be interpreted in a way that actually doesn't require the retrofit of the rest of the property when you go for higher density on the property. And just in general, as a policy matter, I feel like every time I get up here and talk about stormwater, I'm talking about a death of a thousand cuts because we continue to roll back our stormwater requirements. And right now, we've grandfathered in any need for a pre-existing development to comply with current stormwater requirement rules. And from my perspective, it's bad policy because it's like telling a polluting facility you don't have to comply with current law. So that's more of a general observation. about grandfathering in pre-existing development that doesn't meet current standards. But with this specific bill, I think that there is a way that one could interpret the Jarvis Amendment to mean that actually you won't have to retrofit to accommodate the higher density development. And that's just an interpretation that's probably going to be decided by the courts. But for that reason and continued erosion of our protection, our water quality protections, I'm going to vote no. Thank you.
For what purpose, Gentleman Forsyth? Actually, before I come back to the bill sponsor, for what purpose the lady from New Hanover, Representative Butler Rice?
To speak to the motion.
Lady has floor.
I have to agree with Representative Harrison. Folks, it has been raining consistently for 4 days in New Hanover County. We have had 10 inches of rain in the last 3 days. I watched personally manhole covers coming up out of the streets and water spouting like geysers, like Old Faithful. This, particularly the Lee Amendment, appears to allow a 20% expansion of an existing footprint without having to comply with stormwater runoff. So again, these storms are coming, they're more ferocious, they're more frequent, and flooding is a real issue. So if we're building back, we're trying to use these dollars to become more resilient, any of you that represent any flood-prone area whatsoever, please don't vote for this bill. This is a step in the wrong direction. Thank you all.
For what purpose, Gentleman Forsyth? Representative Zinger, rise.
Debate the bill.
Gentleman,
I think there's some misunderstandings exactly what this does. Right now, we have a bunch of businesses that were built, and then we came down years later, and we threw down watershed over top of them. And then we came down years later and we put stormwater requirements, but we said all of those businesses that were built prior were grandfathered in. And so what we've essentially said is these businesses that were built that are now in the watershed, we're okay with the dirty water that you're dumping into the watershed, but you just can't do anything else. What this bill does is says, listen, you can increase your footprint and go ahead and expand so you can have more impervious surface if you will capture not only the water you'll have to put in a stormwater system for your new footprint, but you will also have to make sure that stormwater system is big enough to cover the old facility. So it's a net gain of cleaner water to the watershed. The reason it's voluntary is, you know, it's up to the owner if he wants to go to that expense. Right now their only option is, if their business gets to a point of expansion, is move. And so this is a way to keep jobs in municipalities or in districts, get cleaner water into the watershed. It's a win literally for everybody. It'll work and it works well, or it will work well, but it's an effort to help those businesses stay, but also give us cleaner water in the watershed. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the adoption of the motion to concur with Senate Amendments 1 and 2 to the House Committee substitute House Bill 218. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Please show Representative Bumgarner excused. Representative Galliard on the floor. Clerk, lock machine, record the vote. 59 having voted in the affirmative and 39 the negative. The House does concur with Senate Amendments 1 and 2 to the House Committee Substitute to House Bill 218. Bill's ordered and rolled and sent to the governor. House Bill 531, the clerk will read.
Representatives Howard, Hastings, Moffitt, and Kyle Hall. House Bill 531, a bill to the Entitlement Act to make changes to the North Carolina Timeshare Act and to eliminate bond requirements for certification of real estate education providers. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Lady from Davie, Representative Howard, recognized for a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I move that we do concur, and I will be glad to debate that motion.
Lady has moved that the House concur, and the lady has the floor to debate the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The bill passed this body unanimously back in May, and the Senate made some technical changes and fixed some statutory references and reorganized the bill, but did not make any changes to the original intent. The bill was requested by the North Carolina Real Estate Commission and is supported by the regulatory industry, and I would appreciate your support.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the adoption of the motion to concur with the Senate Committee substitute to House Bill 531. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Penny, aye. Clerk will lock machine, record the vote. 98 having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. The House does concur with the Senate Committee substitute to House Bill 531. Bill is ordered enrolled and sent to the governor. Representative Penny, I believe the gentleman attempted to, his machine was locked out earlier, and the gentleman wished to be recorded as having voted aye on the motion on House Bill 218. Is that correct, sir? All right, the gentleman will be so recorded as having voted aye on that, Mr. Clerk. House Bill 776, the clerk will read.
Representatives Defton Hall, Davis, Hardister, and Reeves, House Bill 776, a bill to be entitled Act to allow remote electronics notarization and to strengthen the confidence in government by increasing the accessibility of certain public personnel performance and dismissal records. General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall, recognized for motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move that we do not concur.
Gentleman's moved. The House do not concur. Does the gentleman desire any further debate?
No.
Further discussion, further debate? Not. The question for the House is the adoption of the motion not to concur with the Senate Committee substitute to House Bill 776. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Brisson, did the gentleman intend to be a no vote on that? Oh, Torbett, aye. Representative Howard on the floor. Representative Johnson wished to vote. Representative Hawkins. Hawkins, aye. Howard, aye. Chair's notice, Representative Galliard. I guess he's not here. He's missed several votes, so he's not back there. Okay. Clerk will lock machine, record the vote. 98 having voted in the affirmative, none the negative. The House has voted not to concur the Senate Committee substitute to House Bill 776, and the Senate will be so notified. Chair appoints as the conferee for the House, Representative Destin Hall. Senate will be notified. House Bill 797, the clerk will read.
Representative Stevens, Destin Hall, and Willis, House Bill 797, a bill to be entitled an act authorizing the Board of County Commissioners to delegate to a hearing officer to determine whether the taxpayer is overpaid excise tax conveyances. General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Lady from Surrey, Representative Stevens is recognized for motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move that we do not concur.
Lady has moved. The House do not concur. The Senate Committee substitute to House Bill 797. The lady has the floor if she would like to debate the motion.
Thank you. I simply want to say that we sent it over as a simple bill, and it got more complicated, I think, by some staff activity, and we're going to try to go back to the simple version. So I'd ask you to, Representative Pirtle, vote yes, not concur.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the adoption of the motion not to concur. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Hawkins, the gentleman intend to be a no on that? Clerk will lock machine, record the vote. 98 having voted in the affirmative, none the negative. The House has voted not to concur with the Senate Committee substitute to House Bill 797, and the Senate will be so notified. Senate Bill 191, clerk will read.
Senate Bill 191. A bill to be entitled the No Patient Left Alone Act. General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Representative Dixon, is the gentleman going to make the motion on this one? The gentleman from Dupin, Representative Dixon, recognized for a motion as to the conference report.
Mr. Speaker, I move that we do concur with the conference report.
Okay. Gentlemen's moved the House adopt the conference report. Gentlemen, if the gentleman would like to debate the bill, he's recognized.
Members, this original bill, when it came through here, received 87 yes votes. The change that has now been put in it makes it more in line with cooperation with HHS to be involved and make sure that the CDC guidelines, et cetera, are more firmly entrenched in the instructions in this legislation. This is a good companion to the Clifford's Law that we passed unanimously. David, and I would ask that you vote yes.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the adoption of the conference report to Senate Bill 191. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Representative Johnson, aye. Representative Green, wish to vote. Representative Adams, wish to vote. Clerk will lock machine, record the vote. 78 having voted in the affirmative, 20 in the negative. The House does adopt the conference report to Senate Bill 191. Senate will be so notified. House Bill 91, clerk will read.
Representatives Bell, Lambeth, Christian Baker, and Sane, House Bill 91, a bill to be entitled an act to restructure oversight of public high school interscholastic athletic activities to ensure accountability and fair play. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Gentleman from Wayne, Representative Bell, recognized for motion, and then is also recognized to debate the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that we do not concur. Members, we had a very productive conversation over the last couple of weeks, and they have a better meeting yesterday afternoon where we all came to an agreement, and so now it's time to put the agreement together. So if you would join me in voting not to concur to allow the conferees to put the appropriate language in place, I think we can have a bill that we bring back to you that's unanimous in support. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question for the House is the adoption of the motion not to concur with the Senate Committee substitute to House Bill 91. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Mills, aye. Johnson, aye. Representative Terry on the floor. Clerk will lock machine, record the vote. 98 having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. The House has voted not to concur with the Senate Committee substitute to House Bill 91, and the Senate will be so notified. Chair appoints the following conferees to House Bill 91. Representative Bell, Chair. Members, Representative Shepherd, Torbett, and Gill. The Senate will be notified of that as well. For our purpose today from New Hanover, Representative Butler Rice.
Point of personal privilege.
Lady has floor.
I hope you'll all join me wishing happy birthday to the only PhD economist in the chamber. My seatmate, Dr. Wesley Harris, had a birthday yesterday.
House Bill 92, the clerk will read. Strike that, 792.
Representative Stevens, House Bill 792, a bill to be entitled an act to merge the barber and electrolysis licensing boards. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Lady from Stevens, lady from Surrey, Representative Stevens, recognized to debate the bill on second reading.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, this is a very long bill. It's 25 pages. We have actually done it in previous terms. The electrolysis board is so small they needed to find a home or they were going to wind up losing their board and their licensing. The barbers agreed to take them in, so this bill basically consolidates, which is why it's long, consolidates all the sections of the barber board along with the sections of the licensing, the electrolysis board, to merge them into one board. The only new thing it does is it allows barbers to, under restrictions and rules set forth, establish a mobile barbershop. that they can actually come out to your home and come out to different places and do the barbering. And this is something they requested. All the parties have been in agreement on this, and it simply will consolidate those boards. I'd be happy to answer any questions and ask for your support.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, question for the House. Passage of House Bill 792 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Johnson, aye. Humphrey, Representative Humphrey, wish to vote on this? Clerk will op machine record the vote. 98 haven't voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. House Bill 792 passes second reading without objection. Be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 792 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. Ayes have it. House Bill 792, having passed third reading, will be returned to the Senate. House Bill 721, the clerk will read.
Representatives Majeed, Candace Smith, Hawkins, and Belk, House Bill 721, a bill to entitle an act authorizing counties to provide that assessments may be made paid either semi-annual or annual installments. General Assembly, North Carolina enacts.
Representative Majeed, I believe this is the gentleman's bill. The gentleman's recognized to debate the bill on second reading.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 721 is pretty straightforward. There was no opposition through in the local, state, finance, and rules. This act would authorize counties to provide that assessments may be paid in either semi-annual or annual installments. This bill is to provide some relief for property owners faced with orphan roads. And I know many of you know about this situation in your counties about orphan roads. So I ask that you pass this bill. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Further discussion, further debate? If not, question for the House. Passage of House Bill 721 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock machine record the vote. 99 having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. House Bill 721 passed the second reading without objection. Be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Is this on this bill, Representative Pittman? Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 721 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 721 having passed third reading. Bill will be sent to the Senate. For what purpose, gentlemen from Cabarrus, Representative Pittman rise.
For personal privilege.
Gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm about to get myself in trouble, but it won't be the first time. My seatmate does not want me to make an announcement about his birthday when his birthday comes. So I'm not going to do that because we're not going to be here Saturday. And his birthday will be this Saturday. I just wanted y'all to know it.
What purpose, gentleman from Guilford, Representative Quickrise.
Point of personal privilege.
Gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to also stand and acknowledge your birthday this weekend. To the gentleman on my right, a scholar, a gentleman, a leader, as he prepares to celebrate his 98th birthday this weekend.
What purpose, gentlemen from Wake, Representative John Rice.
Point of personal privilege.
Gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd just like to share with the members news that a young man who bears my name and is a former college baseball player was named early this week as the head baseball coach at Heritage High School in Wake Forest. I don't know how he's going to combine that with his law practice, but we wish him best because we're very proud of him. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Bell, would the gentleman like, the gentleman is recognized to send forth a representative statement that will be read upon the adjournment in its full. and that will also be spread upon the journal, and the gentleman is recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, for that. Representative Raymond Smith and I jointly submitted this representative statement honoring the former mayor of Goldsboro, Chuck Allen. For those of you that have not had the honor of meeting Mayor Allen, you really missed it. He's the type of person that you could get in a confrontation with, and as soon as it was over with, you found a friend and you went to lunch. He truly cared about Wayne County and the city of Goldsboro, served on multiple boards throughout the community. He served on the city council for a number of years and then ran for mayor. He was also the type of guy that could work on both sides of the aisle and both parties. Actually, Republican governors and Democrat governors appointed him to serve on multiple boards, and upon his death actually served as a House appointment from the Military Affairs Committee just to be converted to a gubernatorial appointment on the Military Affairs Committee. He truly cared about North Carolina. And when you look at his body of work of service, it just didn't stretch there in the community. It actually went beyond. At his memorial service this week, hundreds of people were there from not just North Carolina, but all over the country. I think I counted three former wing commanders from Seymour Johnson came back into town to honor Mayor Allen. Republicans, Democrats, unaffiliated, political opponents, political partners, all were there to honor the man that we call Chuck. For those of you that didn't get to know him, I encourage you to see some of his work today as you walk back to your office or leave the building. Mayor Allen was a very successful businessman with Allen Grading Company doing heavy landscaping. And when you go on top of this building, or when you walk across the bridge to the Legislative Office Building, you actually get to see some of the landscaping that his office installed right here at the General Assembly. Mayor Allen was a lion for our community. He was a great friend, and he will be deeply missed. Thank you for this honor.
Gentleman from Wayne, Representative Smith, recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Yes, I'd like to speak about my friend, Mayor Chuck Allen. Everything that Representative Bell said is absolutely true, but I go back a little bit further with Mayor Allen than Representative Bell, because he and I were high school classmates, and we're a little bit older than Representative Bell. And so we go back to a time where 1969, when the school system first integrated in Wayne County, we met for the first time as fourth graders and have been good friends since from that day to this day. And losing a friend like Chuck, losing a classmate, absolutely, it hurts. But the one thing, we had many things in common, but the one thing we all had in common was our love for our community. He was a public servant, so am I. And one of the things that will truly be missed is his commitment to our community. And so that being said, I want you to join Representative Bell and I in honoring our former mayor, and his legacy will live long in our community. Thank you.
Mr. Clerk, please reflect Representative Reeves having voted aye on Senate Bill 191. Voted aye, Representative Reeves. What purpose, gentleman from Wake? Representative Martin Rise.
To speak to a point of personal privilege.
The gentleman has the floor.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Members, I want to thank the Majority Leader for honoring, remembering Mayor Allen. I didn't know Mayor Allen from fourth grade or as long as the Majority Leader has, but I did have the honor and privilege of serving with him on the North Carolina Military Affairs Commission along with Representative Cleveland and Representative Bell. And as the Majority Leader said, Mayor Allen transcended party to do what was best for North Carolina, for Goldsboro, and Seymour Johnson Air Force Base. Mayor Allen understood that Seymour Johnson was an integral part of the fabric of Goldsboro and of our state, and was a vigorous advocate for it and the people of Goldsboro. And he will be deeply missed in our state, and particularly on the Military Affairs Commission.
And Representative Meyer is recognized to send forth a representative statement that will be read upon adjournment, spread upon the journal. The gentleman has the floor to speak to a point of personal privilege this time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I'd like you to join me in recognizing Big Brothers and Big Sisters. September is Big Brothers, Big Sisters Month. And the Big Brothers, Big Sisters Federation of North Carolina is represented here in the gallery today, as I think the speaker will recognize. As you know, mentoring enables life-changing relationships to ignite the power and promise of youth in our communities, changing the course of young lives, and shaping social and economic future of our communities. Investing in the future of young people pays off, with a social return on investment estimated to be 18-1 through improved economic health and social outcomes for young people through their relationship with their mentors. The Big Brothers Big Sisters Federation of North Carolina creates thousands of matches each year by partnering with parents, guardians, volunteers, and others in the community to help youth achieve higher aspirations, greater confidence, and build better relationships, avoid risky behavior, and realize educational success. Whether you are served, your community served by the Big Brothers Big Sisters of Western North Carolina, of the Triangle, Big Brothers Big Sisters Services of Winston-Salem, the Central Piedmont region, or the Central Carolinas, we are very lucky to have their services, all of their volunteers who contribute so many hours, and the outstanding leadership of the staff who make sure that those programs function well. Please join me in celebrating Big Brothers Big Sisters this month.
Representative Meyer, appreciate that. And the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to some special guests with us here. We have a number of members of the Big Brothers Big Sisters Federation of North Carolina here with us today. We have Aaron Callahan, who is the president and CEO of the Big Brothers Big Sisters of the Triangle, and Dorian Palmer, who is the recruitment and development specialist of the Big Brothers Big Sisters of Western North Carolina. Would y'all please stand so we can recognize you and welcome you. Thanks for being with us today. See you guys. Stand at ease momentarily. Chair is going to point the following conferees to House Bill 797. That's that deed stamp refund bill. Chair appoints Representative Stevens as chair. Members, Representatives Destin Hall, Representatives Willis, and Representative Reeves. Senate will be so notified. For what purpose does the gentleman from Union, Representative Art Rice?
Point of personal privilege.
The gentleman has the floor.
I just want to stand today and honor my wife. Tomorrow we're going to be celebrating 33 years of marriage. And just want to tell her how much I love her and appreciate her. And as I thought about her, I also thought about each of my colleagues and how much our family sacrificed for us to serve. And how much I love my wife and the sacrifice she has made, just like each of your families have made for us to serve. Let us serve well and for all of their sacrifices. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Congratulations, Representative Art. Representative Jones, is that on the motion? Is there, what purpose does the gentleman rise?
For an announcement.
Gentleman has the floor.
Republicans, we will caucus 15 minutes after session in room 643.
Members, Chair would like to make a couple of points. First off, in recognition of Mayor Allen, who was spoken about earlier, Chair got to know him few years ago when we were touring some of the damage there down east from the hurricane. And I tell you, there's not a finer man, a public servant. And so I know that the whole community there is going to certainly miss him and certainly extend the condolences on behalf of the entire House of Representatives to his family and to that community. Just an update on where we are. It is September and we are still here, in case anybody wondered that. We are, as you know, we are in the process of the public hearings, and those public hearings have been published, and we are coming to the end of the public hearings on redistricting it. I think my notes indicate that the last one will be September the 30th, in Fayetteville. And then once that ends, members should start expecting to get notice of the redistricting committee to start moving its work. So that will that process will start moving forward in due time. The next thing, of course, that we're working on right now is the budget. And what I can tell you is that the appropriations chairs, they're the ones who have dark circles under their eyes. They look pretty weary. They're usually pretty grouchy about right now. And they've been here quite a bit working. The area chairs and the big chairs have spent a lot of time here. I think they were here to about 11:30 last night, working. And so, I just want to first of all publicly thank them for what they're doing. But secondly, the way this process works, most of you all here know this, but many who are in the gallery and those watching may not. When we're resolving the differences between the House budget and the Senate budget, we go through a process where the area chairs attempt to work those out. If they can't resolve them, those differences get called kicked up or taken up to the big chairs to work those out. And if they can't get those worked out, then I, along with Senator Berger, get to try to work those differences out between the two chambers. And I promise you there's a stimulating and enjoyable process every step of the way. And so we're at the point where we will probably begin those meetings. Senator Berger and I will begin those meetings in the next couple of days. So, but I really appreciate the fact that the chairs have actually narrowed those down to just really, it appears, a handful of issues. And so the goal, of course, of what we will do is once we come to an agreement of those matters is to then take something to the governor to allow the governor to look at it and see if he's willing to sign off on it. If he's not, what changes he would like to see in order to sign off and to see, frankly, if we can get a deal that the General Assembly and then the governor can agree upon. And so we're going to certainly try that path. But that's where that is. So my hope is that we will have something to deliver to the governor by the first of next week to allow that process to get underway. And so that, I don't know how long that process will take once it's there, but hopefully it should move through pretty quickly. We all can imagine what the sticking points will always be. No, we're probably not plowing a lot of new ground here, so, we'll start having those conversations and see what we can get. It is my goal to resolve the session as quickly as we can. I do think though where we are in terms of, we talked about early on of trying to have a break between the general session and in the redistricting session. We were thinking, of course, we would have gotten done in a normal year, but just the circumstances this year didn't lend itself to that. And that's and it's one of those things where the additional funds from the federal dollar are both, in some ways, I heard someone describe it as both a blessing and a curse. I would say it's more of a blessing to have those funds, but then the challenge is how do you make sure that you're spending those funds in an appropriate manner, and how do you take care of and resolve just unprecedented demands that we've had on this state. If you had asked anybody 2 to 3 years ago, the issues that many of you, when you were running for the House, what do you think you'd be dealing with? I would imagine nobody would raise your hand and said COVID-19. But that's what has consumed so much of our time, and that's what's consumed so much of the budget process, from every aspect, from health care to education to general government, you name it. And so I just really appreciate the work that's been done by all members of this House to see that all of those various needs from the small to the significant have been met in the budgeting process. But in order to do that well has certainly taken time. And I will share with you this because I do know that many folks like myself would rather us not be in session right now. But I do talk with my colleagues around the country, other speakers of the House, who just about all of them, except for about 3 or 4, are out of session right now. But I do talk with them, and what I've found is that those who went in and did it in, say, 60 days or 90 days and they're out find themselves having to come back in again and again and again and again, or they have to cede their authority to make those changes to their governor. So that's what's happening in a lot of those states. So while this General Assembly has a lot of work that it is doing and continues to do, I think it recognizes the importance that the Constitution of our state places on the legislative branch of this state to carry this burden of doing this. So I just wanted to, number one, advise this body of where we were, as well as the public, and two, to publicly thank each and every one of you for the sacrifice each of you are making, being away from your families, your businesses, your communities, to be here serving, and as your speaker, I will continue to structure our schedule in such a way that, as far as having to be here for votes, that we do it in such a way that it minimizes that interference and allows you to try to have some semblance of a normal life back in your district. And in that same vein, the chair would intend that as far as votes next week of the House, we would not be voting, of course, on the budget next week unless, well, if we do, I'll let you know. But I don't foresee that happening. But the recorded votes next week at this point would be the chair's intending for no recorded votes until Wednesday of next week, a 10 a.m. session. So that's, for your planning purposes, that'll be the next time that we have any recorded votes. There's no override votes or anything like that. And it would just be normal votes in the course of bills that are coming up for either concurrence or committee reports or things coming through the committee process. So that's where things stand right now. We're going to continue to keep moving forward and hopefully have a product that we can jointly with the Senate present to our governor through a confidential conference report to allow some very frank negotiations to happen, and then to turn around and have hopefully a product that will fund this state for the biennium that every one of us here will be able to vote for. So with that, for what purpose does the gentleman from Wake, Representative Jones, rise? I'll be glad to answer the gentleman's question. You can't be breaking those microphones back there. Mr. White will send you a bill there, and if you break Ms. Clemens' microphone, she's going to send you a bill too, but the gentleman has the floor.
But my question is this. It's a fresh one question, but I just wanted to know. When they get done talking about the budget, before it goes to the governor, will we get a written document that this is what House and Senate are bringing to the governor so we have something to read? Does that come after the governor puts in?
What will happen is through the normal process, there'll be a process where the conferees, there's a review process along with the chairs. And so, the exact parameters and details haven't been entirely worked out, but, we've reached this agreement with the governor to try to allow for some confidentiality so there can be some very frank conversations.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, sir. For what purpose does the lady from Wake, Representative Von Hafen, rise?
For an announcement.
The lady has floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I was glad to hear you say we were going to be here Wednesday because I wanted to remind everyone. I sent out an email this morning about an event that Representative Warren and I are co-sponsoring for National Drive Electric Week. And to make your Wednesday more fun next week, since you have to be here anyway, hopefully everybody will come out in front of the building on Jones Street. We're having a Tesla drive on Wednesday from 10 to 4. Your staff, all the staff at the General Assembly and all members are welcome to come out and test drive two Tesla models that we'll have in honor of Drive Electric Week so you can learn more about electric vehicles during for this bipartisan event. So thank you.
Thank you. Any further notices or announcements? Seeing none, the gentleman from Columbus, Representative Jones, is recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House do now adjourn to reconvene Monday, September 27th at 3 p.m., subject to the standard stipulation set forth in Rule 15.1.
Representative Jones moves, seconded by Representative Eiler, that the House do now adjourn to reconvene Monday, September 22nd at 3 p.m., subject to the standard stipulation set forth in Rule 15.1. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The House stands adjourned.
The clerk will read two representative statements, and they are noted in the journal. Clerk will read.
A representative statement honoring Lawrence Corbin, Cobb and Chuck Allen. Whereas Lawrence Cobb and Allen, better known as Chuck, was born on June 19, 1961. He attended public schools in Georgia, Tennessee, and North Carolina. He graduated from Goldsboro High School in 1979 and from North Carolina State University in 1984. And whereas, after graduating from college, Chuck moved back to Goldsboro and soon had started a lawn care business. Later, he founded the Allen Grading Company, and whereas Chuck was active in the affairs of his community and throughout his company aided many local organizations, his company donated services for the rebuilding of the Paramount Theater and assisted Boy Scouts in building bathrooms at Camp Tuscarora. Chuck and his company were also involved with the renovation of the Wayne County Chamber of Commerce offices as well as the Wayne County Development Alliance boardroom. And whereas in 1999, Chuck was elected to the Goldsboro City Council and served on the council until he was elected mayor in 2015. While on the council, he served 8 years as mayor pro tempore. One of Chuck's proudest accomplishments was the fact that he never missed a meeting. He also donated his salary to City Employees Fund for many years. And whereas Chuck devoted his time, energy, and talents to the betterment of his community and worked unselfishly to make Goldsboro the best place to live and work. And whereas Chuck was a charter member of the Highway 70 Corridor Commission, as a member of the commission, he was involved in accelerating the completion of the Goldsboro Bypass by 20 years. He joined Governor Pat McCrory and Transportation Secretary Nick Tennyson on May 27, 2016 to open the bypass, which provides greater access to Seymour Johnson Air Force Base, the port at Moorhead City, the Global Trends Park, and the Crystal Coast. And whereas Chuck served on the boards of the Wayne County Chamber of Commerce, Goldsboro Family YMCA, Red Cross Boy Scouts, Wayne County Day School, and Downtown Goldsboro Development Corporation. He was a member of the Military Affairs Committee and served as vice chair and chair of the Wayne County Development Alliance. And whereas in May of 2021, Chuck was awarded the Order of the Longleaf Pine by Governor Roy Cooper. And whereas in the death of Lawrence Cobb and Chuck Allen, the city of Goldsboro and Wayne County have lost one of its most distinguished public servants who will be missed greatly by his family, friends, and community he served so well. Now, therefore, it is fitting to honor Lawrence Cobb and Chuck Allen for the unselfish service he provided to the citizens of Goldsboro and Wayne County. In witness thereof, the undersigned certifies that the foregoing statement was read in the House and placed upon the Journal on the 23rd day of September 2021, submitted by Representative John Bell, submitted by Representative Raymond Smith, House Principal Clerk James White. A representative statement recognizing Big Brothers, Big Sisters Month. Whereas Big Brothers, Big Sisters Federation of North Carolina enables life-changing mentoring relationships to ignite the power and the promise of youth in our communities. And whereas investing in the future of young people pays off with a social return on investment of $18 to $1 through improved economic health and social outcomes for young people with mentors. And whereas by changing the course of young lives, we shape the social and economic future of our communities. And whereas Big Brothers, Big Sisters Federations of North Carolina creates thousands of matches each year by partnering with parents, guardians, volunteers, and others in the community to help youth achieve higher aspirations, greater confidence, and better relationships, avoid risky behavior, and realize educational successes. And whereas Big Brothers Big Sisters Federation of North Carolina has a goal of recruiting more volunteers and collecting additional donations to help meet the needs of the youth in our communities. Now, therefore, it is fitting to recognize and honor Big Brothers Big Sisters Federation of North Carolina during the month of September 2021 for the positive impact the organization makes in the lives of our state's youth. In witness thereof, the undersigned certifies that the foregoing statement was read in the House and placed upon the Journal on the 23rd day of September 2021, submitted by Representative Craig Meyer. James White, House Principal Clerk.